Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. And hey, as we begin our broadcast this morning, I wanted to remind you as we're nearing Thanksgiving that Thanksgiving means more than just being thankful. In fact, giving is half of our word thanksgiving. And so I want to ask you, are you giving thanks? Thanks to God for all that He's given you. Thanks to others for all they have done for you. Never let us leave our gratitude unspoken, our thanks unoffered. You know, I really like that. A lot of times we think of just being thankful, but it's more than just being thankful. It's giving thanks, making sure to thank God, making sure to thank others for what they've done. And it's always good to express gratitude to others in our life. And so I hope that you're doing that you're practicing that in your life as we begin this broadcast. Now we're going to go back to James chapter 1 this week and start in verse 22 and be reminded a little bit of what we've talked about. It says in verse 22 of James chapter 1, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." So again, just to remind us that we are not called just to merely listen to God's word. Because if we do that, the Bible says we deceive ourselves. We're to do what it says. We're to do what it says. Now, obviously, within the scope of where we are right now in the 21st century, we're not called to build an ark. We're not called to go up to the top of a mountain and retrieve tablets of stone. We're not called to offer sacrifices of bulls and goats and lambs anymore. We're to follow Jesus Christ. We're to listen to Him. We're to listen to the apostles' teaching, which is all part of the foundation of the church, and do what it says. Now, he goes on to say in verse 23, kind of gives us an example. He says, "Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." So when someone looks at his face in the mirror, it's the idea that as you look into the mirror, you're looking in it to make sure that you're presentable, okay? Physically, you look into the mirror, and if your hair's all messed up, you can tell that. If you got, you know, sleepers hanging out of your eyes in the morning, you're going to brush those out of your eyes. If you grin and you forgot something when you brushed your teeth last night and see that in your teeth, you're going to do something about it. Okay, and whatever else you need to do to make yourself presentable. Guys, you might need to shave because you got, you know, a beard going on and you need to get rid of that. And so whatever it is, it's the idea that no one just looks in the mirror and goes, "Ah," and then walks away and doesn't do anything about it. We look in the mirror, we evaluate, we say, "Okay, I need to do this," and then we go do something about it. And so that's what he's using this as an example. He said, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, he didn't really care. He didn't care, and he forgot, and it made no difference to him. And that's too bad, because obviously he's going to walk around looking pretty silly. But here's the point, is that when we look into God's word, it's not just about external things, it's about internal things. It's about looking into the word of God and knowing what God's will is, listening to things from God's perspective, doing our best to understand that, and then put that into practice in our lives. And not just for ourselves, but just like we talked about at the beginning, that it's about giving to others. We talked about this in our Wednesday night class this week, that it's not just about what other people can do for you, but what can you do for other people? How can you serve other people? What can you do for them? And so we don't want to deceive ourselves by just merely listening to the word. We want to do what it says. So let's not be people that look at our face in the mirror and not do anything about it. Let's not be people that look into the word of God and don't do anything about it either. Hey, we're going to listen to our first song this morning by Chris Tomlin. This is called Jesus Loves Me. And I hope you'll be reminded this morning as you listen to this, just how much Jesus loves you. He was willing to lay down his life for you, but he doesn't want you to just look in the mirror and forget all about him. He wants you to look in the mirror and consider what he's done for you and then live a life of faith accordingly. Let's listen to Chris Tomlin sing Jesus Loves Me. Okay, we're back this morning, and again, let's be people that look into the mirror of God's word, not forgetting what we see and what we hear, but doing it, putting it into practice in our life. That's the whole point. That's what walking by faith is putting into practice what God has shared with us as far as life is concerned. And so let's go on past this. We don't want to be people that are deceived and people that don't do, but we want to be people that do. So look at verse 25. Here's the contrast. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay, so there's the contrast, is that when we look intently into the word of God, and when we put into practice God's word, not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it, we'll be blessed in what we do. And I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed in what I do. I don't want to be walking around with God's displeasure on my head or in my heart. I want to walk in such a way that I know God's pleased with me. And if I'm not walking that way, or if you're not walking that way, what we need to do is repent. We need to say, God, I'm sorry. And I shouldn't be walking in that way, but I should be walking according to your word, and get right back to doing it again. Okay, get right back to living God's word again. So the man who looks intently, now when it says man, obviously it's not just talking about men, it's talking about humanity. Okay, so the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. Now here's one of the problems that I think is going on in our society, and we need to be careful that it doesn't happen to us individually or even as God's people, that we're not looking intently into his word. See, if you don't know the word, how can you live the word? How can you practice it? And so there's a lot of people that have been just given little tidbits here or there, or they just have a very shallow knowledge of God's word. But as God's people, we ought to be people that look intently into the perfect law, not casually, not just every once in a while, not just ho-humly, but we ought to look intently into that perfect law that gives freedom and continue to do this, not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it, then we'll be blessed. So when he talks about looking intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, what's the perfect law that gives freedom? Well, there's really no law that gives freedom other than the law of Christ, which is all about what Jesus did for us on the cross. Okay, he laid down his life for us. An innocent man paid the penalty for sinful people. And God was pleased that he would do that. And so this perfect law that gives freedom is the law of love, that God so loved us that he gave Jesus for us. And that once we understand and have accepted that love and that sacrifice, then we too are called to live a life of love. We're continue to practice this life of love. In Romans chapter 13, starting in verse, let's get there, Romans chapter 13, and starting in verse 8, he says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law." That's the perfect law that gives freedom, that we continue to practice love. We're to imitate God and to love as he loves us. Now, that's not always easy. In fact, sometimes it's very difficult, but that's what we're called to do. And we're to look intently into that love of God, that perfect love of God, the love of Christ that gives us freedom. And we're not just to listen to what God has to say, but we're to obey it. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You'll do as I say. You'll walk in love. You'll walk in holiness. You'll walk as God would walk. And so let's just remember that we need to look intently, and we need to continue to do that, not forgetting what we've heard, but doing it. Again, there's that message, not forgetting, but doing, doing, doing. It's when we do that we'll be blessed. We don't do so that God will bless us, but we do it motivated by the love of God so that He does and will bless us. And that's a wonderful way to walk in God's blessings. All right, let's listen to our next song. This is by Al City, and Britt Nicole joins him on this, but it's a song called You're Not Alone. And to be reminded that, hey, when you walk with God, you're never alone, and you can always take confidence in that fact. Let's listen.
Some days I barely hold on when life drags me down. I wanna let go, but when my spirit is weak, you come to my aid and strengthen my soul. I'm lost without you. Is beyond compare. And though when it rains it pours, you know all I have is yours. You smile when you hear my prayer. You rescued me, and I believe that God is love, and He is all I need from this day forth for all eternity.
This morning, what a great song, You're Not Alone. And you can have great confidence in that when you're walking by faith, when you're listening to the word and doing it rather than not looking intently into it and forgetting about it. So we've talked about the principle, which is doing, and we've talked about the blessing that comes from that. He will be blessed in what he does. But let's look at verse 26 and 27 to get some practical application. You see, the Bible doesn't just give us these highfalutin principles to deal with. God expects us to narrow those things down into practical ways of life. So look at verse 26, James 1, 26. If anyone considers himself religious, okay, now there's lots of people that consider themselves religious. You don't have to talk to very many people that have some form of religion, some kind. And most people, if you asked them, would say, well, yeah, I'm kind of a religious person. So if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Ouch. Wow. If anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue. Now, when we get to James chapter 3, we're going to be dealing with the tongue in a more specific way. James comes right back to this, and frankly, we all know why. Because, wow, our tongue can get us into some serious trouble. We can say some serious wrong things. We can vent anger and attitude and everything else with our tongue. We can just absolutely destroy people. In fact, in the Proverbs, it tells us that the tongue has the power of life and death, okay? That our tongue can be like a reckless sword, you know, in the way that it can pierce and hurt and everything else. And so here's this first practical aspect of this. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. There's that word deceive again. You see, James is making sure that we understand the truth, that we're not deceiving ourselves by just listening to the word, that we're not considering ourselves religious and yet don't keep a tight rein on our tongue. Friends, we need to listen to what the Bible says. We need to make sure and not deceive ourselves and to make sure that our religion counts, that we are being careful of the things that we say. Remember the child song, oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say? Okay, be careful, little mouth, what you say, because, wow, our tongues can just do so much damage. And yet they can do so much good too, can't they? I mean, to encourage someone, to come along beside someone, and as we expressed at the beginning of the show, express gratitude and thanksgiving, to come along and instruct people and to teach people in ways that are right or good. There's so many good things that you can do with your tongue. But if we don't keep a tight rein on it, we deceive ourselves and our religion is worthless. Now, look at this last verse, verse 27. It says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, we're going to take a look at this more next week, but here again, we want our religion to be pure and faultless before God. And again, practically, looking after orphans and widows in their distress is one way to do that, to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. Let's listen to our last song. This is called Jesus, Only Jesus by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And friends, always remember that he's the one that makes it all possible, isn't it? Amen.
Demon. King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. I join with them and bow before Jesus, holy Jesus, holy King Almighty Lord, saints and angels all adore. We join with them and bow before Jesus, only Jesus. You will command the highest praise. Yours is the name above all names. You stand alone, I stand amazed. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus. Jesus, only Jesus.
Well, we're out of time for this week, but I wanted to remind all of you that are listening that if you would like to, please come and join us this Thursday, Thanksgiving Day at 10 o'clock a.m. We're going to be having a special Thanksgiving service. So this coming up Thursday at 10 o'clock a.m., the Church at Las Vegas meets at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And we would love to have you come meet with us during our Thanksgiving service. It's just about an hour or so, and we do what we said right at the beginning of our show this morning. We give thanks. We express our thanks to God and for each other. So please come out for that, 10 o'clock this Thursday. You can also come and join us any Sunday. We'd love to get to know you and meet you Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Also, Wednesday evening, we have a prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock. Now, we're not going to be having a formal kind of a Bible study prayer meeting this Wednesday night, but we are going to get together and get everything ready for Thursday morning. So you can even come out for that if you'd like. Check out our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com, and there you can find out about us, watch sermons, listen to old broadcasts, send us an email about questions that you have. But until we meet again next time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.